Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. True, greater is the one living inside of me than he who's living in the world. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, Hour 2. Hey, if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour discussion with Liz Curtis Higgs. It was fantastic, as usual. And we discussed women from the Bible, Mary and Elizabeth. And the overarching message of this last hour was anything is possible with God. So if you're facing some circumstances where they just feel impossible, that you're so desperate for a breakthrough, you don't know how you'll get through without a breakthrough, you got to go back and catch the podcast. Liz and I pray before the show every time she's on, and we're always surprised. We think we're going to go one direction and God leads us another, and he's so faithful. And so if you need some encouragement, I do pray you'll go back and listen to the podcast. Well, we're in for another treat because we've got another monthly feature today. Bill and Pam Farrell join us every month to talk marriage, and specifically today, we're going to talk about the faith journey that strengthens marriage. And so I don't want to waste another moment. Let me tell you about my guests, and we'll get them on the show. Bill and Pam Farrell are authors, speakers, and co-founders and co-directors of LoveWise, an organization to help people connect love and wisdom and bring practical insights to their personal relationships. Bill and Pam have written more than 30 books, including the famous Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti and Red Hot Monogamy. They have been married more than 30 years, have raised three young men who love Jesus and athletics. You can find them on the web at lovewise.com, and their influencer page is up on our website, myfaithradio.com. Bill and Pam, welcome to the program.
Hi, Susie.
Hey, Susie, good to be with you.
Always good to have you guys on. What's the weather like in San Diego?
You so don't want to know.
You're torturing yourself,
80,
Susie.
Sunny.
It's 75 degrees. And after I'm on the show, I'm going kayaking. It's my Christmas tradition.
Oh, I think
kayak.
Your Christmas tradition to kayak?
Yeah, sorry.
I've confessed.
We'll suffer through it for you, Susie.
Thank you. Yes, you're called and chosen. I have weather envy, so I'm going to have to put that under my feet now so we can have a good conversation. I shouldn't
have
asked.
Merry Christmas, Susie.
Yes, thank you so much.
At least it'll look like Christmas at your place.
Indeed.
That's right.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that. Well, as you know, we love to talk scripture. I'm wondering if either of you have a verse you can share with us that God's been speaking
Both
about these
you.
Days. Good. Well, ladies first, Pam, let's hear from you.
Okay. I love Psalms 73:23-24. Yet I'm with you always. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. It just reminds me of that beautiful verse in the Christmas story that Jesus came and he's our Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes.
And my verse for the week is, it's Isaiah 9:6-7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, which means he always has the best advice to give us. Mighty God, which means he always has the power that we need for whatever we're facing. He's the Everlasting Father, which means he always has our best interests at heart. And he's a Prince of Peace, which means he has the ability to put peace in our heart for the things we are going through in life. And he knows how to give us love for the people in our life that we care about the most.
You have a pastor teacher's heart, Bill. I am telling you what. You break it down very well. Thank you for both of those so much. Well, today we're talking about a couple's journey with God. In fact, you've got a great devotional under that same title. And I'm going to ask you kind of a tricky question, although it probably won't be tricky for you. But step back. You've been married 30 plus years now. If you would look at, I don't know if you want to break your marriage up into 5-year segments or 10-year segments, but I want you to kind of give us an overview timeline of how you would describe your spiritual life in those different times in your marriage, personally and corporately as a couple. Bill, why don't we start with you?
Well, I would say the kind of the opening section of our life together, it was just fascination. Like we came at life so differently. And even in our faith journey, we both loved Jesus. We were praying together as a couple right from the very beginning. And I began to notice that, wow, Pam sees the spiritual journey different than I do. And part of it was contentious because we tried to do devotions together the first year, and we, like, we'd get upset at each other.
Our first fight was over doing a Bible study together. Is that not hilarious?
And it's because Pam didn't do it right.
No, because he takes way too long to get to the point.
And Pam was very much of a bottom line person. Like, she would see what God wanted us to do, and she'd go, okay, let's do it. And I would want to explore it and ask lots of questions about it before we reached a conclusion.
Right, look it up in the Greek and the Hebrew and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
It's all good.
And it irritated me at first, but then I've come to admire the fact that Pam, she just has this readiness to obey. So when she sees what we're supposed to do, she's just ready to go to action.
I love that.
And I've learned to appreciate now Bill's more deliberate, thoughtful approach to God and life and the Bible, because our roots are deep and strong. And
because of that.
Now at this stage of life, that's really valuable.
So, Pam, if you were to look at, like, those first 5 years or so, how would you describe your spiritual life together?
The first 5 years were a really fun, totally broke financially adventure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. But spiritually, like how you walked with God together as a couple, that I'm for sure that factored in.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, well, we have a miracle scrapbook upstairs because we started keeping track of all the miracles of provision that God gave us, because we married at 20. We were finishing our degrees. We had one car. It was a blue Vega with a green back door, Bill's. And then it had a cracked block. So then we rode bicycles everywhere, praying that God would provide a car for us.
Hmm.
We were youth pastors, and so the whole youth ministry was praying. All the kids in the youth group was praying that God would miraculously provide a car. Bill was finishing up his degree, as was I. And so we didn't want to stop school to finish because we really felt like God was calling us into the ministry. And so we just rode bikes everywhere for about 9 months, and our youth group, they prayed every week, and they had so much faith, these young kids, they even bought a bumper sticker that says, "I expect a miracle for the car that God was going to provide."
Wow, that's awesome.
And it's the most precious story because toward the end of that spring, of that school year, one of the families in our church, their grandmother went to meet Jesus, and she was 98 years old, and she had this huge Impala car that had, you know, hardly any miles on it because she was been a senior citizen for all that time, but it needed a brake job. So that sweet family called and said, "If you have $34.58, you know, for this brake job, the car is yours." And so we drove this Impala up to the church, and those 100-plus kids came out and officially put the bumper sticker on. And I think the most exciting part of all that, yes, it was laborious, and, you know, we had to swallow our pride bicycling around the city to all everything we were responsible to, but I would say probably 70% of those kids are serving Jesus in some form of ministry that were in that youth group, and so our crazy faith God somehow used to encourage them to believe God for big things, too.
Wow. And so you have this opening season of your marriage. So I love the word fascination, Bill, because you're kind of grafting your lives together, coming from different perspectives. But then here's a need. And isn't this how, so often at least, how our faith is forged, is when we have a need, because then we rely on God. So maybe, Bill, take it from there. When did your spiritual lives change, and how? I mean, what was the catalyst to maybe moving you into another season spiritually as a couple?
Well, the next season I would describe as this strange combination of trust and striving.
Hmm.
And the thing that kicked it off was we had our third son, and suddenly this desire within Pam to get her education done and to start activating her women's ministry and to start writing books, it came alive.
I was not quite 30.
And it was scary to me because our youngest son, he was 18 months old at the time, and in my mind, I pictured Pam getting really busy with her education and with her career, and I didn't know how we were going to manage all of that with this young family.
Bill calls it my awakening.
She just woke up one day and things were on. And for me, trusting that God was doing this in Pam's life and that she really was hearing from God was hard for me to get my hands around. Like, it looked to me like Pam got fascinated with her own idea, and that she was going to just run with it, and it was going to be really hard for us as a family to manage it.
like it was not crazy. You know, I was just doing one or two classes a semester, being a pastor's wife, director of women's ministry, so working under Bill's, you know, wonderful leadership. But I mean, I was on. I was full time. You know,
like,
pressing
like,
in.
To put it in perspective, Susie, like I've seen you and Pam together. You know, it's like a little cheerleading reunion. Yeah, you know, you're emotionally all, you know, amped up, and everything's exciting, everything's awesome, everything's woo-hoo! And that's the way Pam was reacting emotionally. And I was afraid that was going to turn into a bunch of commitments that our family couldn't handle.
Which was really stressful on Bill. He was a brand-new pastor, senior pastor of this growing church, and so he just couldn't see how life would work. And so we had the longest argument of our marriage history. That 18 months, we would get together and we would try to talk it through every week, and we would pray together, and we would leave with no answers. Just a stalemate, week after week after week after week.
And at the end of that time, we finally just had to surrender. And I still remember the prayer that we prayed together. It's probably the most honest prayer we've ever shared as a couple. Because I just said to God, God, I love this woman, but I don't really like her right now. And I don't know what's going on in our life, but this is not working. We can't keep going like this. And so if I'm doing something wrong, would you point it out to me? And if Pam is somehow off balance, would you point it out to her? And we'll just bow to whatever you show us.
Lord, I just want to do your will. That's all I've ever wanted to do. And I just feel like you called me to this, but Bill is not sensing that. But I don't like him not being in love with me and not liking me. Like, I know he's committed to me, but I'm just not liking the place that we're at. So, God, if there's something in me that needs to change, you know, point it out, please. And then we just got up.
And it was shortly after that that God just laid it on my heart that the reason why Pam is so excited about all this stuff is that God has put this dream on her heart. And once I grasped that, once I could accept that this was something that God was doing in Pam's life, I was able to let it go. And I was able to relax and say, okay, God is in charge of this, and I can trust God to work in Pam's life even when I don't fully understand what he's doing.
But he needed a way to convince me that he was now on my team. And so I was a reentry woman doing my degree, and Bill walked into my classroom and said,
Pam, I love you. Here's flowers, and I'll see you later.
And my professor was like, why do you interrupt? Is it your anniversary, your birthday? And I'm like, no, I think he just wanted me to know that he believes in me and believes in the dream that God has on my heart.
Wow.
And then all the women are like, so does he have a brother?
Yeah. Okay, we have to pause there. We need to take a break. But this is really a great story, because I think this often happens. We as women can tend at times to overcommit, so the husband's concern is so legitimate. But I've also heard plenty of stories where when God awakens a dream in the wife, where the husband feels suspect and sometimes shuts it down. So I love, Bill, that you wrestled with God to a point where you could support her. Let's pick this up where we left off. And if you want to chime in with questions, now is the time, 877-933-2484. Don't go away. More with Bill and Pam Farrell in a moment. True. There's a little bit of heaven everywhere. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, Hour 2, talking of our friends Bill and Pam Farrell about a couple's journey with God and how you navigate the everydayness of your life and incorporate faith and hope and love, and how that really ties you so closely together. And when you're together in the Lord, boy, that scripture talks about that the cord of three strands is not easily torn, it's not easily torn apart, because the bond is so strong. That's what we're talking about today. And sometimes we make it so complicated, but it really doesn't need to be. So before the break, I asked Bill and Pam to kind of give me an overview of their marriage, of these different sections of time, and how they would identify their spiritual journey together. So you guys are talking about that first 5-7 years or so, kind of being one of fascination, because you're coming together with such different histories and different ideas even of how to cultivate a devotional life. And then you went into the next section of life, was trusting and serving, where you have three kids. Bill, you're pastoring a church. Pam, you've got this awakened dream where you start to go to school, have a desire to write books. And it started to kind of breed a little bit of a conflict, because your dream was sort of scaring Bill, and then you came together and really both sought God and really determined, no, this is what God has for Pam. Take it from there, Bill. You brought her flowers in her classes to say, I'm with you. How did you navigate that? Because still, that's a busy life with three little kids, your wife pursuing a degree, you're shepherding a church. How was that commitment tested in you, and what did it do in you as you trusted God with what your wife was doing?
Well, the interesting thing that happened with that event is it's as if Pam and I were thrust onto the same page, and the third phase of our journey together I would describe as one of purpose.
Love that.
That we just kind of realized that God had put the same dream on Pam's heart that he had put on mine. And through the difficulty of that whole circumstance, we realized we're in this together. And that was a huge gift to us, because you know, when your family gets to that stage where your kids are all in school and they all have schedules, your family starts to get really busy. And if you don't have the same purpose in mind, it's easy to create distance. So I knew at times during that phase when I wasn't with Pam, I knew she was working on the same purpose I was working on. And she knew that when I was busy, I was working on the same purpose that we both held together. And it helped us to accept the fact that we're not going to have as much time together in this phase of our life together, but we're on the same page. And so our prayer life became really important, because we knew at the end of every day we were going to see each other, and we could pray together over the things we'd experienced that day and remind ourselves that, you know, we share a common purpose.
You know, that is profound, Bill. And Pam, I got to just say, don't you think when you're on mission together and you both know, okay, this might be a season where we have, you know, have to connect, you know, more infrequently or whatever, that you're less apt to keep account, because it's like when we're running parallel paths, then we start to keep track. And Bible says, you know, love keeps no account. Well, we start to keep account. Well, you did this, you're gone. I mean, talk about, Pam, how that impacted your perspective with all you guys were managing.
You know, it really, over and over again, I can say that every time we come back to our purpose, we decide not to fight. I mean, fighting takes a lot of energy, arguing, holding grudges, all of that. It just sucks the life right out of you. It just steals all your emotional energy and enthusiasm for the future, and it robs you of precious time with your spouse. And so every time we come back and say, you know what, we're in this together. God has called us. He's called our family. You know what? Our little bit of time together is going to be quality time, because we're working our purpose. So we might not have as much leisure time, because we're both, you know, working God's calling in our life. But God boomerangs back and blesses us. I mean, now years later, God has taken two parallel tracks where I was running women's ministry, Bill was running the church and men's ministry, and now he's forged them together, and we're doing marriage ministry. First it happened part-time, and now full-time in life's second half. And all of those days that we decided just to put purpose in front of pleasure, put purpose in front of our pride, put purpose in front of, you know, our selfishness, God's boomerang back the blessing now. We get to travel all over the world together. And I think if we would have disobeyed in our early days, we would not be on this fun adventure now.
Mm, so important. So I'm looking at this fascination. And that's such a great, I mean, what you've done here, what you've laid out here, is something that really could apply to so many of us. Because when you get married, there is a fascination, because you're so different. And then that trust and striving, where you get into just running your head off in some ways, and it requires a measure of trust and then purpose. Bill, I want you to look at these three, how it could have gone had you chosen one of you or both of you, selfishness, and which is all too common in marriage, in that fascination stage. Give us an example of what that would have looked like had you determined to go a way different than what God had wanted.
Well, I wish it took a lot of imagination. Because we've seen so many couples who have done exactly what you're describing, that rather than being curious about each other,
agenda gets to take priority.
Right. So I see men all the time who start making demands of their wife because they don't believe their wife's doing things correctly. And they believe that the male approach to life is always the best approach to life. And so they try to change their wife into I hope this isn't too bold, but a buddy who has breasts. Mm. They want her to act more like a man and think more like a man. And so rather than learn from the way she approaches life, they begin to make demands of their wife, which then shuts their wife down or makes their wife angry. And now contention takes the place of fascination.
Right. And oftentimes women, when they don't feel like their agenda is, you know, the one that's running, they'll become manipulative or harsh, critical. Like, that's going to help. Like, if you always put your husband down all the time, I'm pretty sure that's not going to convince him that your way is the best way. It's so counterproductive that women fall into that trap all the time. And, you know, it's very easy to do that when you don't feel like you're being heard. But it's so much better to take your frustration towards your spouse and talk to Jesus about it. Like, the more I talk to Jesus about it, the more clarity I would get. You know, it's like, okay, just hold your tongue, Pam, here. Write out your plans, write out the agenda, write out the hopes and the dreams for your ministry. But, you know, weigh them, put it at the cross for right now and give me some time to work with Bill. Give me some time to put some people around Bill that are going to say the same thing that you want to say to him, but maybe from a male perspective, maybe from a mentor's perspective. And that's exactly what happened, is that Bill's mentor had lunch with Bill, and Bill was kind of complaining about me, and Jim Conway was Bill's mentor at the time, and he challenged Bill. Like, your wife is very gifted. I believe that God's calling her to fly. And
Pam is way understating this. He looked me in the eyes and he said, Bill, do you have to control your wife? And at first I was defensive. I was like, I'm not trying to control my wife. But then I realized, well, I think God led Jim to say that. Because, like, in my story, my mom was a very controlling individual.
Like, mentally ill, controlling.
But very strong personality. Like, my mom's a natural leader who got afraid of life. And so it was difficult growing up around her. And so I was afraid of marrying somebody who would control me as an adult. And so I realized I was on guard, and that I was going to make sure that Pam's strong decision-making bent was not going to become a controlling influence in my life. And so when he said that, I went, yeah, I need to let God take the reins of Pam's life and not think that I know how to steer her to God's will.
Wow. That is so good. And I'm listening to both of you, and this might just seem so simplistic, but I think it's only simplistic if you're not applying it. But it takes faith to build a strong marriage, because you had to take the control off of Pam and trust God and engage your faith. And Pam, you had to engage your faith to say, I'm not the only person who can speak into his life. God, you're more than capable of bringing people to confirm what maybe I see. That requires faith ahead of doing, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And I think it was early on, you know, I definitely had the gift of being a visionary. Like, I can see the big picture. I can see the dream. I can see the adventure, usually a little bit before Bill. And that was God training me for our whole future of doing ministry together, where I would learn how to temper that gift, not push my timing, but wait for God's timing. Mm. Like, that's important.
So important. Talking to Bill and Pam Farrell today, talking about this, they have a gazillion books out, but this one is A Couple's Journey with God, having a great conversation about the importance of centering your relationship on faith and how so much it makes such a difference when Jesus is first and foremost. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Love that song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to our good friends, Bill and Pam Farrell. Times of conflict. You say, search me, God. Is there anything I'm missing? And change their heart. Change my heart. And that's what Bill and Pam, you were both modeling. I think it was so great. As you walk through these different real seasons of life where you hit these times, you kind of pulled back, you sought God, and you asked him to speak to your own heart and speak to the other, and that's what's made you so strong. I want to just have you speak to maybe the young couple who's looking at you right now going, okay, now they've got this national ministry, they minister full-time together, they write books on marriage, and it would be easy to kind of compare where you are with where they are. And I think there's two roads we could go. You could say, I want to model our lives after, like what they're doing. I want to just learn from them, or I want to compare and despair. And so I'd love for you to both talk about just the idea of really looking to mentors, but also not, I mean, it took you a long time to get here. So I'll start with you, Bill, but speak to that whole idea.
Well, first of all, I appreciate you bringing that up because nobody matures overnight. So we got to where we are today one step at a time. And when we were a young couple, I mean, when we were 20 years old, we had no idea how this thing was going to turn out. Like, if you had told me in our 20s that I was going to be an author and that we would be traveling, I would have laughed you out of the building because I didn't see it as part of my future at all. I wanted to be a pastor. I wanted to help people. I didn't see where we're at today. And I could not have described in my 20s the depth of the relationship that I have with Pam today. It, you just can't see it because you're not at that stage of life. And so to that young couple out there, I would say, first of all, just enjoy today. Like, what you have going today is a gift from God, and the season that you're in is a good season. And every season has great joys, and every season has challenges. And just enjoy the season you're at. And just ask God, what's the next step in our life? And if you get in the habit of just praying together on a daily basis, like Pam and I set up a habit early in our life. There were two habits we set up that kept us praying with each other. The first is we decided we would pray over every meal that we shared together. And second, we would pray at the end of every evening together. And we made it so simple we couldn't fail. So our commitment was we're going to pray together for 2 minutes a day. Now, if it went longer than that, that was great. But we never wanted to say, okay, we have to spend a half hour every day in prayer, and then a lot of days we wouldn't find that half hour, and then we'd feel like a failure, and guilt would set in. We just didn't want to do any of that. So we committed to 2 minutes a day, and if it went longer, we would let it go as long as it wanted to go. And because we stayed in touch with each other in prayer, it just kept developing. So my encouragement to those young couples, just keep it simple, enjoy the season you're in, and take the next step.
Very good. Pam, I'd love for you to speak to that as well.
I would kind of ditto it with a simple line from one of the sermons that we teach often that comes out of a couple's journey with God, and that's every time we say yes to God, our life gets better. Mm. You know, we were 20, everyone said, you're too young to get married, but God had called us to get married, and so we said yes to God, and our life got better. We were young, and we wanted to finish degrees and get to seminary, and people said, just get a job. And we said, no, God's calling us to get to seminary. And we said, yes. And our life got better. And we went to seminary and needed a job. And people said, oh, you should get a job that will pay well, not one in ministry. But I said, yes, and worked for Chuck Swindoll and gained some insight for living there. And our life got better, you know. And we were a young family, and We were struggling to make ends meet, and people said, oh, Pam, it's not that important that you're a mom with your kids. Just get a job. But we felt like God was saying, no, trust me, I'll develop a career for you out of the home, so be with your boys and get better. And every time we have said yes in obedience to God, our life gets better and more opportunities open and bigger doors. And I just would encourage people to spend time with God every day in a daily quiet time, because God is going to lead you moment by moment by moment by moment, and he's going to show you how to love your spouse. He's going to show you your future and hope. He's going to show you how you were created for such a time as this. And every time you say yes to God, your life will get better, even in the midst of the hardest moments, whether it's a health crisis or whether it's, you know, an economic press in or a loss of a job. If we just kept saying yes to God, God would show us the path out of that pain into his promises again. Mm.
That's so good. Appreciate you both saying that and thinking about what I would do or where I would be without my daily time with the Lord, and how many times I've shown up with knots in my gut. And I would just say anytime we are in that place, it's because of either unbelief or a wrong perspective. At least that's been true for me. And I get with God and he untangles my story and I go, oh, okay. And like, as you say, Pam, even in the midst of hard times, peace comes back, joy returns. And remember, this is just one phase of the journey and I can keep walking. And it is amazing. I don't know how people make it, especially how Christians make it, without that regular time with the Lord. So I really appreciate that. Well, here's a quote from your book, A Couple's Journey with God. A great marriage is like a bullet train. When you said till death do us part, you are committing to a traveling companion for the duration. The person you start marriage with is supposed to be the same person you usher into heaven. That is God's ideal. The journey of love is easier and richer if you make it all the way together. I think that is so great. Bill, why don't you speak to just some of the other ideas of how you guys have cultivated a faith life together? So you talked about praying before your meals and praying together at night, keeping it simple, but just making that a standard practice. And I happen to know you guys pray over your meal and then you kiss every time. I think that doesn't hurt at all. but Bill, maybe there's other things that just in the when you hit speed bumps, how you guys connect with each other to stay connected to each other and to the Lord.
Well, one of the things that we started doing, I would say we really started this in our 30s. There was a hint of it before, but it really started in our 30s and served us well when we had teenagers, is we started contending together in prayer. Like we knew that if our kids fell in love with Jesus, we were going to look like pretty good parents. And if our kids found a solid footing in their faith with Jesus, they would navigate the teen years well. But we could also tell there was a battle on for our kids, that they were struggling with attitudes and peer pressure was a real thing and temptation and puberty seemed to go along like kind of as cousins. And so Pam and I, we started praying together kind of militantly. Like we would say, God, we are claiming our kids for you. And Satan, you have no part in our family life. You have no part in the life of our kids.
We would print out verses about our marriage and for our kids, and we would pray by faith what we believed God was calling as a gift to our marriage and family. We couldn't see it yet, so we would claim them by faith, those promises.
And we would pray things like, God, if our kids are about to make a bad decision, would you interrupt them? And if our kids do something that's not right, would you let us know? And we just started asking God to be part of our family system and part of the process of overseeing our kids. And that was something that we didn't set out to do that as a couple, but as our kids got to be teenagers, close to teen, and then became teenagers, Pam and I really kind of bonded together spiritually to contend for their hearts.
I would say,
looking back, that's one of the most precious gifts I think Pam and I found together.
I was just going to say, we did the same thing. And it reminds me, Bill, of, you know, I love to cycle. When you're on the flats and you're hunkered down, you can just kind of hit a steady pace. Mm-hmm. But when you come on an unexpected hill, you have to engage your muscles in a whole different way. You got to grip a whole different way. And you got to hunker down and take that thing on. And don't you feel like when you hit those teen years and you do have to engage on a whole new level?
You do. Mm-hmm. You have to change as a parent.
Yeah. And, you know, I just love that bicycling illustration, Susie, because we bike, too, and you need those toe clips oftentimes so that you get double the power. And mm-hmm. I really think that that's what prayer is. Mm-hmm. You know, Bill and I, as parents, we have so much, you know, influence in the life of our kids and the life of each other. But when we invite God in, it's like we get that extra dose of power.
Yeah, and at some point it becomes clear to every parent that you can only do so much for your kids, that at some point it's between them and Jesus. And knowing that we weren't passive in that, knowing that we could bond together and we could diligently pray for our kids and very specifically ask God to break footholds in their life and to lead them to their purpose, that was a huge sticking point for Pam.
And the Holy Spirit was very faithful to us, you know, because we, as our kids became teenagers and are like Waffles Wank Spaghetti, hit the bestseller list, and our traveling for speaking kicked into a little bit different gear. And so the Valentine's season was always a little hectic. And a lot hectic. And so it was a press during that time. But we always prayed, Lord, don't let us miss anything that's important to our kids. If there's something that we need to be aware of, don't let our busyness get in the way. Don't let ministry stand in the way of, you know, their future. And I remember one Valentine's Day, God woke us up at 1 in the morning on the East Coast and told us, call these two boys and say these things to them. And they were staying with friends of ours, so they were in a good, safe place. But they both needed that phone call. It rescued them from some bad choices that they were pondering with peer pressure. And, you know, I just think that that's the Holy Spirit. That's the extra power. He will, like, whisper to you. And when he does, you need to act on it right then.
Don't you think a big part of that, why you heard with such clarity, is because you've been positioning yourself before him and praying consistently. So you had that ear bent towards heaven, as I like to often say. But you know what I'm saying? You cultivated a listening lifestyle.
And I would say yes, Susie, but I don't want to overstate it, because the Holy Spirit is really interested in our families.
True.
And he doesn't just say, oh, those people are experienced, so I'm going to help them out. But these people that got a late start, I'm not going to help them. So I think it was more the condition of our heart that we were willing to hear. We were just like, okay, God, if you have anything to say to us, we're willing to listen.
And it's the same, that same attitude is the attitude we had when we were new believers and newlyweds. And it's the same attitude today as we deal with different issues. You know, we're dealing with Bill's dad and caring for him. And don't let us be so busy we miss out on, you know, right, something that's important to Bill's dad. And so it's like a whole different thing, but the attitude's the same.
And I think that when you've cultivated the ability to listen, God can whisper to you.
Exactly.
If you haven't cultivated, then God needs to shout.
Yeah, he will shout and use a 2x4.
And I would just rather he whisper than shout it.
Yeah,
I
don't like the 2x4.
Well, we just
but he will shout if it's necessary.
He will, because you're right. He cares more about our families than we do even.
Yes,
well,
does.
We just have a moment before we go to break. I know that, and I want to say this the right way, but I think fathers sometimes are able to keep their heads about them a little bit when the kids are worrying. We're moms, we can maybe engage our emotions a little bit more. But Pam, we've talked about this before. When you were faced with maybe the potential or the temptation to fear while you were praying those verses before you'd seen them with your eyes come to reality with your kids, I want you to speak to that mom who's in that place and how you engaged your faith, but just even a word of encouragement, you know, how to pray before your faith becomes sight.
Oh, exactly. You know, I have Logos Bible software. You can use Bible Gateway, but where you just put in a key word of something that is on your heart for that child or for your marriage, and then God, they'll just like list out. The computer is a great help. It'll just list out, and then you print out those verses, and you just post them all over your house. So, because there's two ways to live, by fear or by faith, and I just choose to live by faith, because fear does nothing. It's like sitting in a rocking chair, not going anywhere. It's like does nothing. It's counterproductive. It steals all my joy. And so by praying, I can use those muscles of faith, and it brings hope to my life. It brings joy to my life. It brings vision to my life and my family. And so I just encourage you, girls, if you are worried about someone in your family this Christmas, you know, take them before the Lord, print out some verses, start praying, and then ask God, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? And when do you want me to do it? And God will come through every time. He is a faithful leader.
He is a faithful God. Talking to Bill and Pam Farrell about a couple's journey with God. And so I don't know what's bringing you together right now. Maybe it is a fight for your kids or for extended family relationships or for your income or job or whatever. Maybe there's a conflict. But you know what? You can come to God anytime, and he cares about the deepest desires of your heart. When we come back, we're going to talk about just more practical ways to cultivate a faith journey together as a couple. Don't go away. And you know, this is our last segment, so if you want to chime in with some questions, we'll get a book in your hands. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
He has come for us, this Jesus. He's the
give us life. We celebrate this Jesus. He brings life to our soul. He saved us from our sins. And you know what? He can even rescue a marriage hanging on by a thread. Talking to Bill and Pam Farrell today. And we have them on every month, talk about different aspects of relationships, marriage mainly. But today we're talking about how to cultivate a faith life in the context of your marriage. And I would love for you both to comment on the power and the importance of humility and surrender. You know, Bible talks about man makes his plans, but the Lord determines his steps. And here's a great quote from your book. It says, every day we have a choice. We can humbly cooperate with the way life is and bow to trust God, or we can arrogantly try to define life the way we want it and attempt to boss God around. And so if it's okay, Bill, why don't I start with you talking about just the idea, the importance of humility and surrender.
Well, I think it's funny, you're asking for a simple answer to one of life's great principles.
Yes, in two minutes flat. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. You know, when I was young, I just wanted to do something big. Well, I wanted to make a mark in life, and I wanted to look back and say, wow, look at what I accomplished for God's glory. And over the journey of our life together, I've come to realize that we're all part of God's big plan, and He has a part for each of us to play. And that part is well defined by our God. But in order to accept it, you have to come at it with humility. And you need to be willing to say, God, I'm willing to do what you want me to do, even if it doesn't line up with all this, you know, the creative dreams I carry in my heart. That you may want me here for a moment. You may want me here for something big.
Yeah. And there's actually a really good illustration that I have about something that happened in our marriage that, you know, showed some humility that I had to have. And if I didn't, I would have missed out on this wonderful opportunity. And Bill and I he was a new pastor, and we moved into this little apartment after living in a really nice house, and we did it so he could take over this small little church and grow it up. But I didn't know what my role was. I felt very lost. I felt very depressed. And I had a choice at that point. I was getting depressed, and so I went in to get something out of the walk-in closet of that house, and I reached up, and I couldn't even remember what I was going for. And so I just sat down on top of this dirty load of laundry, and I began to cry. And my two little boys toddled in, and Brock, who was four, said, "What's wrong, Mommy?" And I said, "I don't know." I just wrapped my arms around them and rocked back and forth and back and forth until they fell asleep. And I put Zach in his crib and put Brock in his bed. And I went and I sat at the kitchen table. And I said, "God, this is crazy. This is, like, so ridiculous. I, like, have two kids and I love them and they're healthy. And I have this husband who loves me. It's kind of like a miracle right now that he loves me. You have to give me an..." Because all he comes home to is, "Why'd you do this to me? And how long do I have to live in this little apartment?" And, oh, yeah, that makes him want to, like, spend time with me. And so, "God, you have to give me an answer to this pain." And I remember it was Christmas season, and I called up a friend, and I whined and complained over an hour on the phone to my sweet friend, Mary. And she said, as only a best friend can say, "Pam, what character trait, what attribute of God are you forgetting right now?" And my response was, "Well, pretty much all of them, okay?" And I hung up the phone, and I went and I grabbed my Bible, and I said, "Lord, show me a verse to show me how to handle this. You know, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of striving. I'm tired of, like, battling for my own way. You have to show me a way out of this pain that will work for both Bill and I." And I came across that little verse that says, "Wives, honor your husbands." And I'm like, okay, what does honor mean? I think there should be a loophole for times like this. So I pull out my Bible study tools looking for the loophole. And instead of finding an opt-out clause, I found out how to opt in and show honor and respect to Bill. And it's simply God said, "Pam, I want you to see Bill as a man worthy of honor and respect because I created him for you. Pam, I want you to speak to Bill with the words that I would use to speak to Bill, words that would build him up and encourage him. And Pam, I want you to serve Bill and help him succeed in this pastorate." And so I called Bill on the phone, and I'm like, honey, you want to go to lunch? And he said,
I think so.
He wasn't sure what he was going to get. But I shared that story with him over lunch, how God had, when I finally surrendered, how God had given me a solution that would build both of us up and give us that future and a hope. And Bill's response, when I basically said, honey, if we don't get the house, if we don't get the car, if I don't get my things that I think that I need, I want you to know 100% from this moment on in this marriage, I am on your team, babe.
And that's just powerful, Susie. Like when a husband hears from his wife, I'm on your team, I believe in you, I will do what it takes to help you succeed, it changes changes a man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we even hate to admit how powerful it is. And I saw a transformation in my own life. When Pam said that, I don't know how to describe it, but I became a better pastor. I was working less hours but getting more accomplished. I became a better provider for our family. Got us moved into a house that had a yard on it pretty quickly after that conversation so that our kids could exercise their big muscles. And we built a home that next year and built deep roots in that community so that we could impact the church and impact the community in the way that God had called us to do.
Amazing. Wow. I want to grab Karen calling in from Duluth. She's got a question. We literally have to be praying in about 2 minutes, but I still think we can answer this this question. Karen, thanks for holding. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. Love you, Susie. Love your program.
So glad.
I was wondering, you're talking about praying as a couple. Tell me what format or formats that take. Like, if you've got two people who are really used to kind of slugging it out in prayer by themselves, just what does that look like?
Question.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I love how she asked it. Even this could have been a plant. It was so good.
It was. It's precious. You know, start small. You know, start with what's natural. Praying for each other right before you fall asleep at night. Praying over meals, and then we took the next step of like starting to do prayer walks together, where we would walk and pray verses over each other and over our kids. That was twofold. Actually threefold. We got closer to God, closer to each other, and thinner. All at the same time. And start with natural rhythms. When we were in the car, we decided every time we get in the car, we'll start praying for each other and praying for our kids and driving kids to and from school. So we just looked for those natural little white spaces in our life and tried to fill those with prayer first.
And then when we started, we would take turns praying because we were both real strong in the way we approached life. And so rather than try to coordinate too much, we would take turns. So Pam would pray one day, and then I would pray the next. And then when we were in a real busy part of life, we started creating just a format we would follow where we would praise first. We would then pray for each other personally, and then we would pray requests that we had beyond that for our kids and for our ministries and that type of thing. So the structure helped us not overrun each other. And then we also, when we were praying together, we would say we have to pray short and pray often.
Right. So it's popcorn prayer, just a sentence or two so the other person doesn't like wander off in their mind or fall asleep. Literally at night, it's important to do that because my husband, if he stops moving, he falls asleep. So it's like a sentence and then your turn, hun. Otherwise, it would be a very short prayer time.
Well, Karen, thank you for that call. And I'll just add one thing. You've probably heard of Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. He's got a short devotional, short readings every day called Draw the Circle. My hubby and I have gone through that thing three times. Short readings, and it just pumps up your faith. It's so good. And maybe that'll encourage you as well. Well, this hour went so, so fast, you two. Thank you so much. And as we get ready to wrap up, wondering if you, Pam, would pray for the Karens listening today who want a richer prayer life with their spouse. Would you pray?
Lord, thank you so much that in your word in Psalms 85:10 says love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other. And God, I just feel like that's what happens when couples pray, is that you bring hearts together, you bring lives together, you bring futures together. And so we pray for every person in the audience that you might meet them in a special way this Christmas holiday season. And as they reach out and pray for or with their spouse or their children, that you might meet them each there and give them a personal post-it note, a kiss from heaven. In Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you both and have a blessed holiday season.
Merry Christmas, Susan.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for joining us.
It's the smile on a man who has finally found hope. It's the tears of a mother.
you found some encouragement here today, I always appreciate you tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. You've been listening to Live the Promise, and you can find a podcast of today's program up on our website, myfaithradio.com. I have an article up there called God is Able. If you're walking through a time where you're wondering, does it matter if I pray? Does it matter if I sow seeds of faith? Listen, friend, it matters. You might need some encouragement. You'll find it there as well. Well, you'll hear this from me every day, pretty much every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a blessed day.